Morning, everyone. Great to see you all here. Great to see lots of people at the back who sometimes are away doing different things. Great to see John and Rebecca here. Congratulations. So very good. Okay, so maybe it's just because I am of a certain age, and so I tend to associate Christmas with particular famous TV shows that used to put out Christmas specials back in the 70s. Not that many people here will remember those, obviously, but I do. You know, I was obviously very, very small. And or maybe it is just because, as was said and actually made very clear by Chris a little bit earlier on, last week we had three candles. This week we have four candles. If we could have the lights off and run video, please.
Four candles.
Four candles. Here you are. Four candles.
No, four candles.
Well, there you are, four candles.
No, four candles. Candles for forks.
There is more. Perhaps if you're very good, I'll play you a little bit more later on. Classic sketch, where would Christmas be without the two Ronnies? I'm not sure how theological that is, but there we go. I guess a sketch, not stretching it too far. If you just enjoyed the sketch, that's fine as well. But kind of essentially a sketch about a confusion in communication. And some of you will know that because of my role as a CEO of a charity, I've done a fair amount of travelling over the last couple of years. Come back to that in a moment. I've experienced difficulties in communication due to language. One of those actually took place a little bit longer ago. In fact, I'm trying to think if anyone... Actually, I think, Lindsay, you might have been there. But anyway, it was on a trip to France with a mission team I took of young people. And I was actually singing for some time on the street over a number of days a particular song before someone who was actually French pointed out that, and this is one just for all you fluent French speakers out there and you can explain it to everyone else, but someone pointed out I'd actually been singing with great gusto about how Jesus had saved me from the evils of fishing. Now, you can kind of work that one out if you know French and explain it to the person next to you if they don't. It doesn't just happen to English people. I was 10 days ago, I was in Tanzania with some Ugandan friends. And the Ugandan friend was introducing his wife, and he was speaking in Swahili, which is a language common to both countries. However, there are differences in dialects, which he discovered when he introduced his wife, and everyone burst out laughing, and it turned out he'd actually introduced her as his grandmother, which didn't go down that well with his wife, and I advise you against that, husbands. In the last 12 months, I did a little sum the other day, and I added up that in the last 12 months, I've flown a distance just in excess of 94,000 miles, which is about 3¾ ways around the globe. And I've obviously had to, in all of those times, I'm not fluent in all the languages of the places I go to. I have to be interpreted. You don't always know whether the person interpreting what you're saying is absolutely on track with what you're trying to say. You have to take it on trust. And I'm sure there are times when my communication with a spoken word has been less than adequate for some of those situations. And I'm someone who kind of is used to speaking. I use a lot of words. I'm not going to use too many this morning, but I kind of, in all sorts of contexts like this, commercial settings, performance at times, I'm used to kind of communicating with the spoken word, but I've discovered But even though I have to do that in these various different nations I've traveled to, that it does have an inherent weakness. Spoken words, written words, don't always communicate what you want them to communicate. That there is a lacking there. But I have discovered something else really, really important. As I've gone to these various places, and this is what I've been told by the people I'm visiting, that the most powerful bit of communication I've accomplished is actually just by going and being there. Just by going and actually being present in a place communicates something that spoken words, written words, can't communicate. I learnt a phrase in Kenya back in May. I will teach it to you now. It's actually, I used to say it was in Swahili, but I've learnt actually it was in Kikuyu. So any fluent Kikuyu speakers out there? John, are you fluent in Kikuyu? No, John, you are? John, you're okay. Well, the phrase is this. I'd spent about 20 minutes trying to explain to the people we were visiting, I was visiting, why I felt it was important to actually come and see them, even though I was only going to be there for a couple of days. And I was explaining that Links International, we like to work relationally. It's not enough just to send emails. It's not enough to make phone calls. We do think actually being present is important. If we're going to say people are our friends, we need to meet them. I spent about 20 minutes talking about this, and the Kenyan friend listened very patiently for me to finish. And at the end of it, he said, yes, we've got a saying in Kikuyu. And it turned out it was just three words, which would have saved me a lot of time, really. And the saying is, Ndogo ni makinya. Can you just like to try that again? Ndogo ni makinya. There we go. You can store that one up. And it literally means friendship is steps. But what's wrapped up in all of that is if we're going to be friends with people, it means taking steps towards them. It means actually going and being with them. It actually means going and being present. This Christmas time, we will probably spend some time catching up with friendships, maybe seeing people that we haven't had that much time during the year to be with. Christmas is a time we want to be with friends. Be present with them. Ndogo ni makinya. Actually take steps towards them. And in a world that is full of words, in a time that is, they say, a communication age, Christmas is a time when we remember that God did just that for us. It wasn't enough just to have written words, even words carved on stone tablets. But the Bible tells us, in fact, John, at the start of his gospel, says that God did more than that. It wasn't just spoken words. It wasn't just written words. John chapter 1 says, the word of God, Jesus, was made flesh and came to be with us. The ultimate bit of communication for God was to actually be present in this world, in Jesus. And it's difficult to put it into words, but I think John does a pretty good job with that phrase. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. In his letter, in 1 John chapter 1, he says something similar. He talks about a word which wasn't just heard, but was seen and was touchable. And it sounds a bit strange for words to be touchable, but of course he was talking about Jesus. That when God wanted to communicate with this world, ultimately he didn't just speak words from heaven that you could hear. It wasn't just written words that you could see, but he sent himself in Jesus. That his love wasn't just something that people heard about, but it was something which they could actually experience, they could actually touch. This meeting has got a title, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And there will be a lot of words being spoken all around the world right now trying to bring peace to various situations. And I really, in no way, am wanting to knock those efforts. In fact, we want to pray, don't we, that in all of those situations of conflict, those situations of lack of peace, that actually some of those words will have an effect. And peace will come, more peace will come in some of those situations of, it seems, intractable violence and disagreement. Situations which actually often, I think, come about because people do misunderstand and misunderstand words. But ultimately, we know that words don't bring peace. Peace is actually a person. Peace is Jesus. And the only source of real peace is Jesus. Jesus came, God in flesh, so that we could know his presence, could know his peace in a real and tangible way. And though we don't actually see Jesus in the flesh now, yet still, Christmas is about the fact that we can know his presence now by his Spirit. And I don't know everyone's situations here, but I suspect there are situations all around this room to do with a lack of peace, situations of conflict, situations of inner turmoil, problems we're facing. Words can help, but the only source of peace, real peace, is God's presence by his Spirit, which has been made possible because Jesus came, God in flesh. And in a moment, we'll play just one more bit of that clip. But before we move on, can we just have a moment, just a relative quiet, doesn't matter about the noise the kids are making. But I'd just like to pray that we would know the peace of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Father, I want to thank you that you gave yourself to be present with us. That we don't have to just try and grasp hold of written words or things we've heard. But we can actually know your presence here with us. Thank you that the word became flesh and remains with us now. And I want to pray, Lord, for every situation in this room that we would know your peace, the peace of Jesus, real, present with us this morning, in Jesus' name, amen.